GoDaddy.com. Use the code POD139, that's POD139, for 10% off GoDaddy hosting. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1284, February 24th, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
name of that is Surfer Joe, and that is by a group that call themselves Flim and the BBs. I don't know if they're still around. They were heavily involved in the early days of the compact disc, and of course they were on a label called DMP, which I think is still around. And they DMP in those days, and probably still today, they were really trying to make the most of digital recording back, you know, in the early days of the compact disc. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Topton, Kentucky. This is the same, there's a truck rest area that's part of a Kentucky state scale in the southern part of Kentucky along Interstate 75, about 35 miles north of the Kentucky-Tennessee state line on Interstate 75. And I don't know, I guess several days ago I spent the night here, and so I've stopped here once again because it's a convenient stopping point. Of course, I spent the night last night at Marietta, Ohio, and then I unloaded there this morning. And then after I got unloaded, they, you know, in the empty message, I put in a thing saying, hey, I'm supposed to be home on the 26th, February 26th. Apparently, the the dispatcher ignored that. And they sent a load that was, I think it was picking up in Columbus, and in Ohio, and then it was supposed to go to West Seneca, New York. And so I sent a message. I didn't accept that load, but I sent a message right away saying, "Hey, I'm supposed to be home." And the dispatcher sent a message saying, "I'm back," saying, "Well, give me a few minutes." And so then they came up with a load that picked up in Columbus, and then it delivers to Dalton, Georgia, which is in the north part of Georgia, not too terribly far south of Chattanooga, if I'm thinking correctly. So, you know, and then they came back and said, well, we'll try to work on some sort of a swap or something, and then they came back later and said, well, that's not going to work, and we'll try to swap out this load, you know, that's going to Dalton. Well, obviously that never happened, and I knew that it wouldn't. If they really work at, you know, it's been my experience that if the dispatcher really works at something, they can usually do what they want to, or, you know, they can make things work. But if they're, you know, if they're busy with other things, or for whatever, they kind of make a half-hearted attempt, and then it usually, if they make a half-hearted attempt, things tend not to work out. But so in any case, I've still got today was the 23rd, tomorrow's the 24th, Wednesday the 24th, so supposed to be home on Friday, and I doubt if it, it's not going to happen on Friday, and it's not really critical. I would just like to make it home so that, you know, because I need to, timing-wise, my niece is getting married on March the 27th, and so I'd like to have a few days at home and then go back to work and then be able to make it back by March, she's getting married on the 27th, so I need to make it back, a couple of days before then. And she's, you know, to kind of complicate matters, she's getting married in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And so that, that creates some more problems in that got to get a motel room and so on and so forth. So, because it's Hot Springs is quite a ways from, it's in a different part of the state, actually, from where I'm at. Hot Springs is more in the south central part of Arkansas, whereas I'm in the northwest, you know, up close to the northwest corner. So it's more than, you know, I don't want to have to drive down there and then drive back. So I'll probably end up spending a couple of nights in a motel. at least one night, maybe. I don't know. Well, probably a couple of nights. It'd have to be a couple of nights. So, in any case, hoping to be able to do that. So, I don't know. It's always better if I don't have to actually try to get home by a certain date. That's always a pain in the rear. Sometimes it happens most of the time, you know, a good chunk of the time. It's 2 or 3 days later or whatever. So I don't know. If they don't get me home, then they don't get me home in time, and it's just too bad. I'd like to be there, but if I can't, I can't. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But there's no point in getting all frustrated with it. I've got what I have here. Well, let me go ahead and talk a little bit about GoToMeeting first so I don't forget it. We've had a lot of kind of nasty weather. Now, right now, I guess, you know, at least in the eastern part of the country, things have kind of gotten better. I was in Ohio today and it was above 30, you know, it was in the mid-30s, warmed up, you know, and maybe even in some places in the 40s. But I think that other parts of the Midwest, you get around St. Louis and some of those areas, and, you know, my mom sent me an email earlier saying that, hey, it was snowing in Dallas. It's supposed to snow in Dallas, and it's, of course, they're clear down in the bottom of Texas, and it was supposed to turn cooler there again. So, you know, with heavy weather, it makes getting to meetings close to impossible. The solution? Skip the flight, skip the drive, use GoToMeeting to host an online meeting instead. Everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com. Now they can see your computer desktop on their computer screen with just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your computer. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast for a free 30-day trial. So what I have, I've got another one of these films that I downloaded from archive.org. And this one is talking about, I'll give you the title of it. It's Perversion for Profit. And this was, made by, I think the guy was a journalist, but then he kind of came out and put out this film. And, you know, I have not actually listened to this yet. I haven't watched it. And I just kind of, I did kind of play through it, I just to see if it was all there. And now some of these films that I'm downloading them, you know, I'm not downloading the high quality version. They give you several choices, and usually I'm downloading the little bit smaller file that still has decent audio. But sometimes maybe the file didn't upload. Whoever uploaded the file to archive.org didn't quite get it all up there, and this just seems to end. So many minutes in, it just ends, and now, you know, maybe that was all that was available. They're saying the runtime was 12:23, so that may be all that they had. I don't know, but in any case, we're going to be listening to this together, and if it plays for a good long while, at least 12 minutes. So, you know, the guy's going to be able to make his point. And then I'll want to talk about it afterwards. And then I want to talk a little bit about the topic, you know, I was kind of thinking this evening about the topic of moral authority. And, where does moral authority come from? And so, in any case, let's go ahead and listen to this film. It's called Perversion for Profit, and it was I guess it, let's see, it was made, I guess probably 1964 or 1965. 1965 is when this film came out. And that was, you know, I think we were already mid-60s, obviously. The decay of the culture had begun, unfortunately. It had begun in earnest. So here we go.
I'm George Putnam. I'd like to begin with a fact, a simple yet shocking fact. It is this: a flood tide of filth is engulfing our country in the form of newsstand obscenity and is threatening to pervert an entire generation of our American children. We know that once a person is perverted, it is practically impossible for that person to adjust to normal attitudes in regard to sex. Yet much of this material has been described as an illustrated, detailed course in perversion, abnormal sex, crime, and violence. It is also a fact that no matter who buys this material, 75 to 90% of it ends up in the hands of our children. Now, you might ask yourself, why this sudden concern? Pornography and sex deviation have always been with mankind. This is true. But now consider another fact. Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity, the teachers of unnatural sex acts, had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth. High-speed presses, rapid transportation, mass distribution, all have combined to put the vilest obscenity within reach of every man, woman, and child in the country. In the past few years, this obscenity traffic and salacious newsstand literature have become increasingly worse, not only in content, but in volume. This traffic continues to increase and flourish for one reason. It is big business. Profitable business for the mercenary persons who produce it, and for its more than 800 distributors. The United States Supreme Court has described it as dirt for dirt's sake. We describe it as dirt for money's sake. Obscene literature is a $2 billion a year business. That's $2 billion. Through this material, today's youth can be stimulated to sexual activity for which he has no legitimate outlet. He is even enticed to enter the world of homosexuals, lesbians, sadists, masochists, and other sex deviants. The psychiatric terms for these unnatural sex acts are unknown to most decent adults in our country. But through this salacious material, these abnormalities are corrupting the minds and the hearts of our children. Perversion for profit. Here is the most vicious, the most insidious feature of these publications. They constantly portray abnormal sexual behavior as being normal. They glorify unnatural sex acts. They tell youngsters that it's smart. It's thrilling. It provides kicks to be a homosexual, a sadist, and every other kind of deviant. The Military Chaplains Association of the United States, practically every major fraternal, civic, and religious organization, the juvenile court judges, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, innumerable psychiatrists, sociologists, and psychologists, attribute the moral decay among our people in very large part to the obscene and pornographic literature so prevalent in our society. This moral decay weakens our resistance to the onslaught of the communist masters of deceit. A major factor that makes youngsters prime targets for this printed filth is the natural curiosity of youth about the mysterious force of sex. Yet, on virtually every newsstand is a welter of misinformation which can wreck them for life. Well, at this point, my friends, I wish to make it clear that the obscenity I'm talking about and the examples that I'm about to show you were not bought on the sly from under the counter. They were not purchased on Skid Row or on the other side of the tracks. They can be bought openly by anyone in drugstores, groceries, delicatessens, terminals, malt shops, cigar stores, newsstands, all over the community. They can be purchased by children, whether in a small town like McAllen and the Rio Grande, or in Chicago, New York, or Los Angeles. A prime example of one major category are the so-called girly magazines, which sell over 15 million copies a month. These highly colorful magazines picture stark nudity on slick paper. They often present their subject on bed or couch, in positions indicative of intercourse or other sex act, obviously calculated to stimulate the reader. The nakedness, the nudity of these magazines is defended and foisted upon the people by a vociferous minority in our society. They lack the moral standards and values of our Judeo-Christian heritage. They not only oppose the principles of that heritage, which has given us our rich institutions and laws, but they advocate their overthrow. For the sake of decency in this film, we have partially covered the pictures and disguised the identity of the models. But actually, these magazines not only display complete nudity, but they do so in a perverted manner. Such is this appeal to the sodomist. Such as these shots, which are typical of the preoccupation with the female breast, to a point that it has become a fetish. And this one, with its overtones of bestiality, and with lesbian implications. Another important problem common to these publications is the dwelling upon teenage participation in wild, flagrant abuses of the God-given gift of sex. This is amply depicted by the pose of this obviously young girl, her clothes in the disarray of sexual activity, with the stimulus of alcohol indicated by the tumbler placed on her thigh. And again, the breast fetish. Note the sensual expression alluded to by Dr. Sorokin, the renowned Harvard sociologist, as being the hallmark of so much of contemporary photography. And then we come to nudist magazines. If they were printed only for the nudist cult, they would never exist. Their circulation would not support the cost of printing. These total exposures are not of nudists in some instances, but rather of paid professional models. Group exposure is a hallmark of these cultists. However, it's been well stated that very few blind people join the nudists. Colonies. This mixture of male and female with total anatomical detail is typical of these magazines. A young boy in Philadelphia raped and killed a five-year-old girl. And while he was testifying that he had been stimulated to this heinous crime by reading a nudist magazine, a federal court judge in Washington was granting to that very same publication a second-class mailing permit. And then we come to a terribly sad indictment of our society, the so-called physique group of publications. These magazines with a homosexual viewpoint and poses are often not understood by many youngsters who take them as instruction of body development. But psychiatrists believe that prolonged exposure of even the normal male adult to this type of publication, though he may not be aware of its true nature, will nevertheless pervert. Think then of the consequences to the inexperienced youth who, in purchasing and studying this material, becomes a pawn for these misfits, these homosexuals, who have a slogan that betrays the evil of the breed. Today's conquest, they say, is tomorrow's competition. See the tender age at which homosexuals prefer their conquests. Look here at the young face and bright smile which could be the hope of the world. But in the other half of the picture is revealed the seduction of the innocent. Look at this poor young lad, but when looking, think of the others who might follow his perfidious footsteps when photos like these are available at the corner news rack. And so it goes, countless poses, still pictures, slides, movies, all with the same content, and more of the same. This picture is not one typical of the physique magazines. It approaches another class of magazines dealing with transvestites, wherein the wearing of female garments is that which provides sex gratification for the participant. This picture, of course, merely confesses on the cover of the magazine the charges we have made. In this ad, the titles of the magazines and their table of contents speak more eloquently than I of the tremendous problem here presented. Sexual sadism, strange flagellation cults, erotic, confessions of a sadist. What is fetishism? The pleasure of pain, the worship of the whip. Sexual problems of a masochist. How to buy a whipping. Famous transvestites. Are cross-dressers afraid of sex? These titles lead us to an even more bizarre but nevertheless common product of our news racks. The composite picture here speaks for itself. This type of aberration is usually depicted by showing several persons, one of whom is dominant, and binding or inflicting pain upon the other. And thus, the grotesque costuming and the significance of the extreme spiked heel and the tight boot, the riding crop, the burning cigarette, rubber and leather garments, and all the rest. And here again, an appeal to the sodomist, with a play upon the buttocks, the laced leather garment. This picture hints at the common idea of bestiality. Dr. Sorokin, the renowned sociologist at Harvard, says that today the newsstands, quote, depict the world as a sort of human zoo inhabited by raped, mutilated, and murdered females, and by he-males outmatching in bestiality cavemen and outlusting the lustiest of animals. Male and female alike are hardened in cynical contempt of human life and values, unquote.
Okay, so it ends right there. So apparently that's all that they uploaded, because it does kind of match what they said the length of it was. In any case, you know, that's pretty hard-hitting. You've got to remember this was put out in 1965, and you know, early on, you know, in this, he says that it kind of renders, you know, it kind of ushers in communism. And of course, the communists, if you go back and you study the Russians and the communists, they were systematically planning to kind of take us down, take down America, convert America to communism by corrupting the morals of the youth. And, you know, this was in 1965. The guy was warning what was going on. And look what's, you know, look around you, what's happening today politically, you know, and in every other way, but certainly politically, and, you know, at least, you know, upwards of half of the country, the population is hopelessly brainwashed and suggestible, because that's the other part of this. That's the other part of this. It causes people to become suggestible. And they won't admit it, because they, you know, people that are in a suggestible brainwashed state don't know it. They don't realize it. They have this idea that they're in charge of their own lives, and they're in charge of their own thoughts, and they're in charge of their own actions. And you know, now if someone came out with a film like that today, could you imagine? could you imagine, you know, you'd have all kinds of people just, you know, jumping up and down and screaming and, you know, doing somersaults. And, you know, and then we'll look at, you know, just take somebody like Sarah Palin. Now, Sarah Palin hasn't, you know, she hasn't, you know, come out with anything like this. And if she did, you know, again, people would just go insane. But look at what they've tried to do to her. You know, how they've tried to destroy her, and all. And she hasn't even, you know, she's just kind of lives a moral life, and she's a great example. And that kind of gets into the topic I want to talk about, is moral authority. The reason that Sarah Palin, you know, Sarah Palin's just one example, but the reason that they've gone so ballistic with her, you know, her enemies, her political enemies, have gone so ballistic with her, is because she has moral authority. Whether you like it or not, the woman has moral authority. Now, where does that moral authority come from? I believe that moral authority comes from, ultimately, it comes from God. And while none of us are perfect in this world, none of us are perfect, you know, Sarah Palin has, you know, probably a good chunk of the God-given identity, you know, I talk about that all the time, but she's got some of that, and it's obvious. And that's what's making people go ballistic. You know, the people that are, you know, her enemies, her political enemies, because she has the moral authority. Now, you can have someone like, I'll give you a good example, John Kerry, who served in Vietnam for 3 months. You know, he kept going on and on and on about how he served in Vietnam and so on and so forth. And it rings hollow. You know, when certain people talk about, you know, they kind of pay lip service to morality and so on and so forth. Like Barack Obama is another one. Barack Obama is not believable. Barack Obama does not have moral authority. You know, he's charming and he speaks well, but he lacks moral authority. And someone like that is able to, for a time, they're able to fool some, you know, they're able to fool people. Of course, the people that are dyed in the wool, brainwashed, uh, hating the truth, hating God, hating the idea that there's a creator, hating the idea that there are moral absolutes. Those types of people, you know, see someone like, you know, a John Kerry, they, or a Barack Obama, you know, they will just fall in lockstep. They can't think for themselves. Of course, they think that they can think for themselves, but they can't. And then there are other people that are just in a kind of a state of confusion. You know, maybe they're basically decent, but then they can easily, they can be bamboozled because they're partially, you know, they've been infected with this culture. And then there are other people that see things for what they really are. And but Barack Obama, we've had, you know, he's been exposed enough, you know, over the past year since he's become president. You know, he's been on television constantly. He's given just speech after speech after speech. And prior to that, we really, you know, prior to the election, we really didn't, you know, he kind of came out of nowhere. And they deliberately concealed his past. We still don't know. We have very much information about the man's past. You know, and that has to exist, but the news media is not, you know, they're not curious at all. You know, normally they, you know, and if it was Sarah Palin, you know, look at what they've done with her. They've gone, they've tried to go back and talk to people when she was in grade school and God knows whatever else to try to dig up anything in her past. But with Barack Obama, you know, until he kind of stepped into the political scene, and you know, we know nothing about him. Very, very little. So, but in any case, he since he's become president, he's been over. There's this term that for Hollywood and public relations people use, overexposure, too much. And so we're at the point now where, you know, average people are able to kind of see, you know, the people that were hoodwinked are now able to see, hey, this guy doesn't have moral authority. It's not there. And that's one of the reasons his numbers are, you know, kind of in free fall. You can only get so far on charm. And but moral authority, where do I believe it comes from? It really comes from God. It's part of, you know, if some, it depends on, you know, another way you could put it is someone genuine. Sarah Palin is genuine. Barack Obama is fake. Barack Obama is not a real person. Now you can say, well, he looks like a, I'm talking about his identity. He's not real. He's manufactured. You know, he's a person that, you know, he did well in school. You know, I've talked about school before. Anybody with, you know, that has any sense of real identity, you know, you cannot sell out and, you know, just jump through all of the hoops and memorize all of the stuff. And, you know, some people give up their natural curiosity. And generally speaking, the people that do really well in school end up becoming the next generation of school teachers. They can't think for themselves. They can't really, you know, there's this old saying, those who can do and those who can't do teach. And generally speaking, the people that really do, that they can just kind of mindlessly go through the school system as it exists today, and they don't have, they don't exercise their own natural curiosity, but they kind of mindlessly go through and learn whatever the teacher tells them, and they can't think for themselves. They don't have any common sense. They may be very good at memorizing things and memorizing this and memorizing that, but they can't think for themselves, and they generally don't have any common sense. They've been educated out of it. They've been separated from it. And the common sense is another word for, this natural identity, this latent identity that I talk about. And if you've been separated from that, you're not a real person. Sorry to say that. But if you've been separated from your common sense, you're not a real person. You can end up becoming completely an externalized person, where everything is your identity is completely coming from the outside, and then you end up subject to what people think about you, and you're worried about what people think about you, and you surround yourself with people that smile at you and claim to like you and so on and so forth, and your feelings are easily hurt. You're overly sensitive to words in particular, and you're fake. Sarah Palin is genuine identity. She has common sense, and that gives her moral authority, and that's really where it comes from. So, in any case, probably better be bringing this to a close. I need to get this thing uploaded and get headed towards bed. By the way, I've been, normally I've been uploading my files to Mevio, but for the past several days, I've tried now probably five times to upload a file, and it just keeps going into an error. It acts like it uploads, and then it goes, instead of going to the page where it finishes, it just goes into an error. And so I'll go back to it later. But so in the meantime, I'm just uploading the files to my own server, and so if you're subscribed to the podcast through iTunes, then it's, in particular, or if you're subscribed to the feed on my TruckerTomPodcast.com site, it's going to work just like it should. But if you're subscribed to it through Mevio, then just that Mevio feed itself is not working. But if you're subscribed in any other way, then you should notice no difference. It's going to come to you automatically from my server, because I kind of, I've got control of that. But so I don't know what's the matter with Mevio. I did send them this error message popped up, and then I did send them a thing saying, hey, this ain't working. Supposedly the technical support, but I don't even know if anybody takes care of that anymore. Who knows? But so I don't know. It's not working for me. I don't know what the deal is. But I tried several times over the past several days, and it just won't, it's dysfunctional. So I don't know what's going on. So, but anyway, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.